The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right, tonight I have Sean McKeon in studio. You're back.
I'm back. I've been hiding.
Where?
Huh? In my places.
A lot has changed since the last time I've seen you. I'm trying to think. The last time I had you on here, your dad, when Ron, your dad, passed away, was... Have you been on the show since?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We were supposed to do a show.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, when you got to do that funeral during that week, and give the listeners a little background on what's been going on, because it was an amazing story, honestly, about just even your dad's story from when we all met in high school and stuff to where God... how he got a hold of him.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. At the funeral, I told Ryan and a lot of people before that I was going to surprise everybody at the funeral and end it with the radio show when my dad called in a few years ago, and it was an epic way to close it. My dad called in to you kind of apologizing for the way he treated you when we were younger, because he always blamed you for me getting in a lot of trouble, but obviously we were all kind of living our own lives and just acting crazy.
You threw rocks, which is in the book. You threw rocks at the teacher's parking lot. Cars.
Yes.
You were way worse than me.
Yeah, no. So, you know what's crazy, Ryan, is like it's been a trip, you know, to be honest, over the last couple it's probably almost been 2 months. I mean, my dad passed away April 6th. So, yeah, we're coming close to 2 months right now. And a lot of people would ask, like, was it expected or unexpected? I had had multiple conversations with people that I felt like this year was going to be my dad's last year. He was slowing down in a lot of ways. Not his mental ability. He was still good. Like, so he never hit, like, rock bottom at all. But, like, physically, he had been passing out, like, 3 or 4 times in the last 6 months, and nobody really knew why. We were running all the tests, and he was being obedient to it, which my dad hated, going to doctors and stuff.
And what was the obedience? He couldn't eat a certain way?
Well, he couldn't eat a certain way, but he did, like, lose, like, 30-some pounds, like, in the last few months. So he was kind of doing it. And there's other things, but a lot of the tests are coming back, not showing anything out of the ordinary other than get in shape, take care of yourself. And so... About 6 months ago, I actually got a phone call on a Sunday morning. I thought my dad passed away. At that moment, my mom called me, and she was just kind of like crying on the phone. They just left church like an hour prior, and she goes, I think dad passed away. He died. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right, where are you at? They're at the restaurant. I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. And as I'm on the phone with her, he comes back. And so it was kind of crazy, but you felt your heart drop. Okay. And we get there, and they run tests, and he's fine. But it happened 3 or 4 times. Anyway, as you reflect back, like, on your dad's life, like, it's pretty crazy, because me and my dad have always been close. Unfortunate, like, we talked about how I did drive my dad crazy growing up. But my dad was always down for us, always. Mm-hmm. I never doubted his love for us. I really have no regrets in my relationship with my dad. Mm-hmm. The day he would go to be with the Lord, the night before, he was at my son's baseball games. He was always encouraging to my kids. My kids loved him so much. And so for me, I'd go have lunch with him probably once or twice a month. He would come here, meet me at the office. And sometimes I would record him. So he'd be talking about all his project stories and guys that he fought at work, or telling somebody off on the road and stuff. And he'd always end by saying, but don't tell your mama.
Don't tell your mama.
Yeah, because mom think I'm going to get shot or something.
And by the way, that funeral was like, it was sad, obviously, but it was thinking hilarious, because all the stories about your dad.
My brother's hilarious, too.
Dude, I was literally, like, I was in the back, and I know you can hear my laugh, dude. I was laughing so hard, just going, because all the stories, your brother, your mom. Your mom killed it. Oh, my gosh.
The one when my mom was saying, because my mom is like an angel, like, she's like, morally, like, on point always, and the fact that they totally opposites.
Yeah.
And she said they'd be in line, and my dad would be nudging her aside because they didn't want anybody to
cut in.
And she's like, Ron, calm down. He's like, you never make it in the projects, he told her. You know?
She's like, I probably wouldn't, Ron, make it in the projects.
Yeah, those moments.
He grew up in the projects in New York.
Not New York. It was in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah,
In Los Angeles at that time, he grew up on the projects, and it was mostly a black neighborhood.
Yeah.
And my dad was the only white family there, so all the guys that he fought were black, and all of his friends were black, you know? And my dad's influence on our lives, just his attitude, not taking anything from nobody, and then music. I mean, as a young kid, dude, like, I knew, like, old music, like Fats Domino, obviously Elvis Presley. Yeah. You know that. Like, even when we were, like, younger, like, I was on to the Beastie Boys and Red Hot Chili Peppers or whatever. But then me and my brother would still listen to Elvis when we were, like, in high school.
Elvis, it's true.
It didn't make sense to a lot of people. But for us, it was something that was, like, a foundation. I've been listening to a lot of Elvis all the way since my dad died because it really triggers a lot of memories.
Totally.
And so, anyway, with that being said, like, he shaped us. I think our ability to talk trash to people, have a sense of humor, you know, be loyal to our family, work hard, being on time, all those kind of things have kind of instilled by my dad. You're never completely ready, but we were prepared, as I said. And, you know, I'm a pastor, you know, you're an evangelist, you're doing ministry. We're dealing of life and death situations all the time. And we know, like, the whole gospel message, it's predicated upon death and life and eternity. Heaven's real, you know? And so the Bible tells us that we are not to mourn as other people that mourn without hope. And I would say that's true. Like, I don't mourn in the aspect of, I know where my dad's at. But you do have different emotions. My mom works through them today. Like, you miss them. You miss them coming around the corner. You miss having that conversation. I've caught myself multiple times, like, going to call him. It doesn't go too far, but just, like, that desire to call him. And, like, well, he's gone. Like, you know, so it's kind of like working throughout all of those kind of moments in your life. But at the end of the day, it is really remembering, like, you can't take a day for granted. I'm thankful that I don't have regrets in my relationship with him. You know, I drove him crazy. I mean, my dad threatened my life I don't know how many times growing up because he didn't understand the drugs and the alcohol to the extreme. He didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, he was not that way. He drank a little bit back in the day, but that wasn't his thing. So it tore him up when he saw my life being destroyed and getting me out of jail for DUIs and stuff like that. But by God's grace, he saw my life changed and transformed. He saw me get married. He saw me have children. He saw me invested in my children, going to all their baseball games and everything. So, you know, yeah, the service was epic. And, like, a lot of people have been saying the same thing because out of how you end your life, it matters. And I think that more than ever, like, this is just for the listeners out there as well, like, do inventory on your life. Like, you truly don't know one day can change everything in your life. You want to make sure that you're living out your purpose in life. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're influencing people and you're not living in vain, Ryan. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, you know, as I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm just thinking, like, how your dad had such a great influence, just hearing all those stories. And just being available, being present, going to the games, that went such a long way with them. And how you were saying that you have no regrets, like, you spent time with your dad and your mom. And that's something that people have to find the balance.
Yeah.
You know, it's not everyone even has the opportunity. Some people, you know, you hear about people leaving their parents at a young age or they go to the East Coast or vice versa or whatever. But It's important to spend time and to learn and hear what they have to say. And so you have no regrets.
I don't really have regrets, seriously. Like, you know, and I know we all get busy. My dad was cool like that, too. Like, he'd call me. Sometimes he'd call, so his brother was saying, like, he'd call like seven times a day.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, what you doing? And then he'd call sometimes, and then he really had nothing to say, but it was just him calling.
Yeah.
And I know, like, me and my brother talked, like, he'd call for nothing. We're busy. My brother's a firefighter, captain. You know, I have a lot of stuff going on. And so, yeah, there's some times where you're maybe short, you're being quick or whatnot. But at the end of the day, my dad would always be, oh, I don't want to take away from you. I don't, you know, I know you're busy.
Yeah.
You know, but he'd always do little things. I think I said that day too. My dad, he always looked at us as his kids, like, even as a grown man. Like, he'd be like, hey, boy, you got a jacket on? You know, like, stuff like that.
It's true.
He just always looked out for you.
Yeah.
And I think with all of us, I think everyone can relate to this. You can relate to this. Like, sometimes our parents harp on us on different times in life, and you just, like, tune them out sometimes, you know? And I've done that before, too, with him and with my mom at times. But at the end of the day, like, I truly value every aspect of that relationship. And so, yeah, when I got the call, I was here. I was at the church, actually. It was April 6th that morning. My brother called me. He's like, "Did you talk to mom?" I'm like, "No, she thinks dad died." And then I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, I dropped everything. I was supposed to do Straight Talk with Your Dad, and I had to cancel. Gary Beeler was coming up, and
yes,
we had to cancel
yep.
it. And I took off going to my house, and it seemed like it took forever because my parents live about 30 minutes away,
yeah.
but there was traffic, so it took me like 45 minutes to get there. And as I get there, the firefighters were just finished working on my dad. Actually, they just pronounced him dead. And seeing my brother Ryan was there and my mom, and it was just a crazy aspect of my dad being there and that whole scene. God gave me a lot of strength, a lot of peace, to be real. And I actually was talking to my wife about the other day. Like, I don't even know. My emotions were just still.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't break down crying or anything like that. I was almost processing everything, and I kind of felt like I had to be strong for my mom and my brother. Because my brother, Ryan, even though he's a firefighter captain, whatever, I mean, he worked on his dad. He tried to give CPR and everything to my dad.
What's that scripture that says, God will give you peace beyond all understanding? Yeah. And it's just that supernatural. You can't understand it, but it's just he shows up at that.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And you go through the details, and just, oh, this is real. You know, you're dealing with the coroners, you're dealing with funeral homes and all that kind of stuff, like that first day. And,
yep.
You know, and then you know, just leave, you know, taking his body out and everything. And it's just us, the family, and my brother's coming over, our wives have come over, and just kind of now we're entering into a new chapter in our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's been that day, like I said, I didn't break down. And I really am not an emotional guy. I just really am not too much. And I almost feel bad for that. Like, I'm like, do I have a heart?
Cry. Please cry.
But yeah. On Tuesday night, it was Tuesday night. I was on my way home. And as I'm driving home, I'm solo. And like I said, my dad loved Elvis. So anytime I think of Elvis, an old autobiography, I always think about my dad. And there's this one song, and I had it played at the ceremony.
That was a good song.
But it was a country song. It's by Conway Twitty. That's My Job. And, dude, that song's, like, hard to listen to, but my dad loved it so much. And that song, I think it broke me when I was on my way home. I was thinking, like, just weeping in the car. Uh-huh. I was got on the exit, got back on, just doing circles around my house before I would get home.
Uh-huh.
And then I came home, walked in, trying to, like, you know, make sure I was good, because I didn't want my kids to see me all broken and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was in the kitchen, and Nicole came down, and as soon as she saw me, I just broke.
Damn.
And it seemed like every night I would kind of break like that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't an out of control. It was just like this love and adoration that I had for my dad, and more the love that he had for me. Think about my mom, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think this is what we all go through. You know, this last 2020, a lot of people lost a lot of friends and family, and so it gives us a time to sympathize. My dad did not pass away by any of the COVID stuff. I know a lot of people asked that question. It wasn't. My dad wasn't sick at all as far as flu or anything like that. My dad's heart literally just stopped. And what's the craziest thing is, like, my dad, you know, your dad's claustrophobic, Pastor Raul, like, and my dad, like, they both are the same. Like, when they've had to go in those tubes or whatnot, they can't do it. Like, your dad has to go in an open tube thing too. My dad, like, this one time they tried to put him in there, and he was screaming out there. He's like, "Let me out of this thing. I'm gonna break this whole thing, you know." And he didn't do well in, like, doctors or hospitals like that. So God was really merciful, because my dad would not have been good if he was ever, like, an invalid or anything. It would have been really hard. He seriously had breakfast with my mom, drank his coffee, sitting in his spot, and he just went. Like, it was just like the computer screen just shut off. Like, seriously, there was no gasp. There was no yelling my mom's name. There was just
that was
done.
It.
So,
and
it's crazy.
Your mom said that he loved that remote control.
Yeah.
That you couldn't get out of his hand.
You know what's so crazy?
And he had it in his hand when he...
Yeah.
He took his last breath.
He had it there. You know what's so crazy, Ryan? Like, I think that, you know, God speaks to us, right? And I think that even God was preparing all of us. Like, I think he was preparing my family. I think my mom in some ways. As you look back, like, my dad spoke to every one of his brothers and sisters last week.
Yeah.
Like, yep, I looked through his call log. Like, something put on my heart. Let me go through his call log. All of his brothers and sisters, all of us, it was just crazy. And my mom told me, you know, my dad was like, you know, too conservative, right? Too patriot in so many ways. And politics and everything, and everybody had such a hard time with politics, right? In the end of 2020 and everything with the election, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, my dad could get fired up about all that stuff too, but he kind of, the last few months, he kind of eased off of everything. He wasn't watching news much anymore. Yeah. My mom told me he was watching like old shows, like old Lone Ranger shows, which is like stuff that he grew up with as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like watching these shows and old 50s, 60s movies and everything. Like, he was in like this chill mode. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's almost like God was really preparing him for the end of his life, you know? And I just, now it's just like with everything, like we preach about this all the time, of having hope in eternity.
Yeah.
And it just gives us an example to live out our faith.
No, but it's funny, because as you're saying all this stuff, I'm thinking, like, because we're having a conversation about your dad that passed, you know, and this is a heavy, very heavy subject. But what's so awesome is, like, we know, because it's the hope that we die and we raise from the dead.
Yeah.
Right. And heaven is it's a real place. It was created for us that believe in Christ, that have that relationship. And we know that the hope is that we're going to see each other once again. It says there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow ever again. So when we are reunited with our loved ones, this is the great hope. So we could have this conversation like, yes, this is true. Mm-hmm. He's missed.
Yeah.
You're talking about several nights crying back to back. And you know, you'll never stop missing your mom, your dad, you know, your brothers, you know, whoever your friends that pass away, that they're always going to be there in your heart. But the hope is that one day we will all be reunited. So this is why you can have this conversation now, because he was a believer, and we will see him. Does that change that you're going to miss him? No, but. Yes, this is not the end.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that's really terrifying, that if you're not a Christian, you're here on earth and this is it. It's like, and then people, you know, someone passes away and it's like, oh, we'll never see him again. Or people say, oh, yeah, we'll see him on the other side. Well, the question is this, will you really see them on the other side? Mm-hmm. Or are you, what makes you think you're going to see him on the other side? What confirms, what solid foundation do you believe in, or that you have, that you will see this other person? Because if the solid, if what you believe is not true, and it's just what you think, just because you're like, oh yeah, all good people go to heaven or whatever you think, is it truth? And that's scary, because that even goes to like your belief system of like, where are you going to be?
Yeah.
If you die, you know, and we've talked about life. We talk about life or death all the time, because this is where we're in the ministry of. I mean, I got this crazy story I told you earlier today, is that this church that we were at in Arkansas, the main worship leader and the assistant to the pastor, her son got ran over in the parking lot last night, 6 years old, in the parking lot at church. We were just with them a couple days ago.
Oh, man.
Life or death. We're surrounded by life or death, always.
Yes.
There's always, because the position we're in, people are in the hospital, they're dying, they got liver problems, whatever. They got COVID, funerals, how many funerals we do here. We're always around it. And the thing is, this is why the gospel is so important, that Jesus says, whosoever believeth in him, believe that he is the Son of God and has a relationship with him, will live forever. Mm. And we have to know that you know what you stand on, what you believe is true. Because if not, the scary thing about afterlife is there's heaven and there's hell. Mm-hmm. Now, what does the Bible say about hell? There'll be gnashing of teeth. Basically, you'll have all your senses. You'll be able to, because from studying the scriptures of Lazarus, when he was in hell, there was smell, there was taste, there was memory, there was, you could feel, right? You could feel all these different things. And it says that you, at the final judgment, you'll be cast with Satan and his demons and everyone that didn't believe in God into outer darkness, in blackness forever and torment. Yeah. Now, that is a very scary thing to be, and it's not a subject you want to go light with to say, oh, well, I'll just see him on the other side. Yes. Like, dude, do you really know what the other side is? And do you know where you're going? Yeah. And I would tell people personally that you need to do your homework, because eternity is forever and ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the thing that you can't come back from. Mm-hmm. Like, once you take your last breath on this earth, then you enter eternity, and wherever you align with God is where you end up. And like your father, he was a Christian. Mm-hmm. Rough around the edges,
yeah.
Christian. He loved God. And we know that when he took his last breath, angels were there to take him to heaven, and he would see God, and now he's there resting in paradise, yeah. Partying in paradise, waiting for the rest of the family. But it's a serious thing. But that's the hope we have.
No, it's a hope we have, and it's a living hope, the Bible says, yeah. Right? It's mm-hmm. like it's a hope that you can have daily. Yeah. Like when he's like, I don't fear death. Like yeah. seriously, and be able to say that. Like yeah. even at 44 years old, like if God calls me home, whether it's through a sickness or whether it's a car accident or whatever it may be, understand, like, I know in whom I believe. And that hope, that drive in the scriptures is what caused men and women to give their lives for the faith, to understand of the pains and trials of life as mm-hmm. as a whole. Like, it kept them going forward because they recognized that this world is temporary at best. Even if you have a lot of good things on this earth, they are temporary. And I think that point that you're bringing up is important because we can take these things so lightly. And I think that when you lose a loved one in your life, it should motivate you more of sharing the gospel, understand that you have hope. You desire people to have hope. You know, people fear death. You know, I think it was an old Marvin Gaye song that used to say, like in the chorus, it's like a few things that are promised always, and it's death, taxes, and I don't know if it's grief or pain or whatever, but death is guaranteed to all of us. You know, the consequences of death are two vast different things. Hope, eternity, heaven with Christ, hell, destruction, torment with the enemy. And all of it comes down to a simple choice, acknowledging that you're a sinner, asking Christ into your life, having your sins forgiven. And it's not just the good person or the person that does everything right in life. Like, dude, we all fall short. Mm-hmm. We're all a mess. Mm-hmm. But when we ask Christ into your life and we're forgiven of our sins and we start this journey with the Lord, the Bible says, as Christ forgave the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a living hope that's given to you today. And life has too much confusion in the world today. People are so stressed out. Depression, we talk about this all the time, is on record highs. Suicides, record highs. Been talking about a big issue happened here recently with a firefighter that kind of lost it and shot up a station. Like, people are hurting in the days that we're living in today. And the only way that you're going to be able to navigate through this crazy world is to have a living hope that's found in the Lord. And even when you lose loved ones, because when you lose a loved one and you don't have peace, dude, you go crazy. Like, I don't know how people function through all this stuff.
Well, they're like, are we ever going to see him again? What's going on? I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that, yeah. that goes on
yeah.
With them. Well, I would encourage people that are listening now, you know, life is short, and it's so important to have that word of God. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but if I'm not studying, or like, you know, when I say studying, I'm just like listening to a Bible study, okay? Yeah. Or if I'm like reading the Bible or a devotion of the day, if I don't have that time, dude, my life, I feel off.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because that spirit, it needs to feed off the word of God. That's, we don't live by bread alone, Jesus says. It's the word of God. And I would encourage people to press in, to have a relationship with God. Those anxieties, the depression, suicide, addiction, even like hurt and pain from like lost ones and all these things, God will meet you. Mm-hmm. But you have to like hear his voice. And how do you hear his voice? It's written in yeah. scriptures all through the Bible. That's his voice from Genesis to Revelations. So if you read it, he will speak to you and he will help you in these times for that living hope.
Ryan, we're living in a hurting generation. You know that. You're on the streets. You're dealing yeah. with a lot of people. You know, I see it too, like in people's lives. I always bring up that I coach baseball, but I'm connected with so many families and young kids, and I just look at things from a different perspective in a lot of ways, you know, seeing young kids being exposed to so many things at a young age. We talk about it, but just seeing it practically lived out, and it causes you to just have like this compassion on people, and then just hurting. Like, people are just hurting as a whole. Things that people are so divided, you know, people are lost in a lot of ways. And I think that we just need to pray for God to like do a work in our lives that we can have compassion on people. What you brought up, it starts with that, like encouraging yourself in the Lord, because myself as a pastor, like I go through my seasons of wilderness experiences sometimes. Sometimes I feel like offbeat sometimes. Sometimes I'm stressed out on different things that I'm facing. You know, me and my wife, we have a good relationship, but sometimes we're off, like as far as she's stressed out. Like I come home, the house is jacked up, you know, and like before you know it, yeah. Like, you're just in this mix and you could go down a road that you're just acting like the world as far as just like fleshed out and angry or whatever. And you always we always have to be aware of like, dude, we are just sinners saved by grace. And yep. We just need to stay close to the heartbeat of God. I know that I'm an idiot if God's not number one in my life, and so I got to keep the Lord close.
And that is the whole goal, is to continue to press in and hear his voice. And sometimes we get distracted as far as we think the enemy is just like, you stink, you can't do it. And that's what he wants to do, is he wants to get you off track. So stay on track. Just keep fighting for it. Yep. It's a fight. It's a war to continue. I want to plug a couple things here. The Whosoever's is on tour. We are doing a U.S. mega tour. If you go to thewhosoever's.com, we have all the tour dates there. We're hitting like, where are we going? We're going to be up in
Thousand Oaks,
Texas for a concert event. Delaware.
Are you going to Oregon too? I feel like
there's
going to
Oregon stuff happening. There's some Denver talk. There's some Tennessee talk. So there's different things that are. We're booking right now, so hit us up at thewhosoever's.com. Book us. I just got back from a tour, which I'll talk a little bit about on the next side of this. I was out there with Sonny from POD, the lead singer from the band POD, and the guitar player from Korn, Brian Head Welch. And then Lucas, our tour manager, he was with us as well, and he does all the radio stuff too. But we had a good – oh, and Tom Gillis was out there, the pro snowboarder who's been on the show. Really cool stuff. Different vibe, man. Arkansas.
I want to talk about that.
Arkansas. You know, we're going to have to come back. I've never been to Arkansas. And I'll tell you about my experience. But go to thewhosoever's.com. We have products you can buy. We have a sick slip on. It's called the Pray Hard. I think you're wearing them right now. Looking good. They have a Pray Hard pattern, which is like a light gray, which with the black, it looks really good. It's like monotone. It's sick. And it says Pray Hard on the back of the heel. Real nice. All of our products fund our movement. I have this book out called Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness. Came out on Hachette Publishing recently. You can buy anywhere books are sold. Amazon's, it's actually number one release on Amazon since it actually started pre-ordering. So it was has a lot of good feedback, 5 stars. But what's really rad is the feedback I'm getting on this thing.
I've been watching your Instagram, man.
I'm just posting the comments of what people are saying.
Yeah.
And it's literally like I'm getting pictures of the book. It almost looks like a Bible. Mm. Well, because by the way, it's a faith building book. It's a discipleship book. It has a Bible teaching, life application. Bible teaching, life application. I wanted it like a workbook, but everyone's writing their notes. They're dating it stuff. They're like underlining stuff. They're like highlighting stuff. It's really cool to see this book actually
impact.
It's actually happening.
It came out legit. I know we're going on a break here in a moment, but just talking about the book, like. Me going through it prior for its release, like I thought it was really well, and I'm like, I'm can be biased because I know you well, but I also know your voice, and I felt like it really stayed true to your voice all the way through. It communicates it on a simple, practical level, and so I'm not surprised of the impact of the book, but I think it's even surpassing what I envisioned as well.
I didn't know I'd see like notes, and you know, like it's almost like a study Bible almost. Yeah. Like people are like, because there's so much scripture in there. But what I love about it is I was reading the reviews and people were saying, I love how honest it was, how raw, authentic, and truthful. Because it's very like, I use all my insecurities and my highs and lows all to bring out what God has done in my mm-hmm. life. And that is what people relate to.
You know,
but we're at break. So okay. We'll do that.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now back to The Ryan Reese Show.
Well, I was just showing Sean my motorcycle that I got for, there it is, look, for Asher, look, see it? So he was driving around the house, my son's 5 years old, and then Evelyn jumped on the back, hit it.
That's so dope. Hit.
But yeah, he drives around. That's I think so it had cool. a little bit too much torque for him.
Really?
He got a little sketched out for a minute. But dude, he, oh my gosh, he's amazing. We were just talking about kids at the break, and yep, they're growing, and they are a trip. They are hilarious. They're also unique individuals, even though our triplets are also so different.
Oh, yeah.
A lot different. But right before the break, we were talking about the book.
Yeah,
before,
I know.
Before we get on this tour, I've been reading the reviews, and people are saying it's so authentic, it's so real, it's so transparent. And they're saying, like, you know, I'm reading it for the second time, and it's just a tool. And it's definitely more than – I'm seeing more gnarly, amazing feedback than – I thought.
You know what I was thinking about with it? Like God's timing with everything. Because mm-hmm. I know you've thought about it or tried it a couple times or were about to. And then everything just came together at the right timing
yeah.
to put in the content that was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, because and before, like, whether it's just all about your story and all that developed. Like, yes, there's parts of it, but, like, having that long-term vision – where it's not just a testimonial book, like it has some elements of that, but the base is kind of like bringing somebody to a thing of maturity and like understanding the ups and downs, the struggles that we have, temptations, finding out who you are in Christ and finding a purpose, living it out, living by faith, like all being led by the Holy Spirit. Like that's the practical aspect that we all have to realize because none of us would want to, when we get our lives to the Lord, we'd just like to just check out and just sit in a church and just that. Like, you have to have vision for your life outside the church. I mean, as a pastor leader for myself, yes, I have to have an influence inside the church. I have a call. I have a responsibility. But also, it has to impact your life at home. It has to impact in things that you have vision outside of the ministry as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, I mean, when I'm looking at the chapters, I had to go through all that stuff in order to get perspective. And then not only that, as I was going through these life circumstances, I started teaching Shine Bible studies through the Gospels of Mark and John. Yeah. I did all Mark, and then I got halfway through John in 3 years of just going through it. And a lot of that teaching is in here. And like I had to learn how to teach. I had to learn the word even more and more. And then apply it. I applied it to all these life applications. So I had to go through this whole process in order for this book to be what it is. If I would have just wrote it in my first book deal, like just to write my testimony, that would have just been my biography and not even close to being as powerful as this. I mean, this is like, you know, this is, I was just talking on a previous show, how this is, I'm 45 years old. So this is like 45 years compacted, you know, into the highlight reel of like the power of God and what, how he uses you, stuff that people need to hold on to. You know?
So what? Do you have a vision for more books or what?
I'm writing one right now.
Nice.
Book two. It's going to be about, because this book, I end with a chapter called No Posers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, you know, I end it with that Mary and Martha story. You know, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? You know, are you distracted or are you a worshiper? You know, and from that chapter, you basically leave the last chapter. Like, you should be like on fire for God. When I say on fire, you should be asking God to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and going, God, what are we doing? Like, I'm ready. I'm killing the noise. Let's go. What does that look like? So the next chapter is basically, or not the next chapter, but book two would be like, okay, now what do you do? At leading book one, now this is what the Great Commission looks like in life application. Not literally like the Great Commission isn't like I'm going out and I'm going to be a missionary in Africa. Yeah, that is the Great Commission, but Great Commission is all around us. It just says go, right? Go make disciples. So go is just like going from wherever you're at, going to the office, going to school, going to the church, going to work, going to the skate park, going to the baseball game, going as you're going, as you're going, you're making disciples, right?
Yep.
Of the nation. So wherever you're at, you're a coach. So you're there, you're talking to the coaches, you're talking to the kids, you're talking to the parents when God opens the opportunity, but you're going. So we're not supposed to be stagnant and sitting. So as you're going, that would be the Great Commission. So I'm going to do a whole story on the Great Commission on, you know, I'll leave it at that. There's this book, I pitched it to my book agent and they were like, let's go. Sure. I was sitting there for a minute like, what's he going to think? Because I walked through all the chapters with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, chapter one, and he's like, that sounds amazing. I'm
yeah,
like,
and those guys are cool because they're straight shooters too.
Oh yeah, they're not gonna.
Yeah,
they're not. If you have a crappy idea,
yeah,
they're not gonna pick up. This is you know, they're not gonna go pitch it to. I mean, these guys deal with like, you know, Max Lucado, and they did like Cray's book and like all these David Jeremiah. He represents all these big
Carson,
all the all, Carson. What's his name?
Ben Carson.
Yeah. He even did a book for Franklin Graham. So this guy, he only deals with the biggest. You know, he's not going to tell. If you have an idea, it's not going to work. It's not going to go. But yeah, he was like, let's go. So I'm actually more excited about book two, even though this book is great. But book two, I'm excited because this is like all like just being filled with the Spirit, being in the Word, and then seeing the Word come alive in the Great Commission, like seeing God move in power. And speaking to people and touching people's lives and just hearing testimonies of people. Dude, it's going to be amazing. So okay. It's coming.
Isn't it a trip that you hated reading growing up and now you're putting books together?
Well, yes. I still hate reading. I'm an audio guy.
Yeah.
So audiobooks. I do audiobooks and I do audio Bible studies. I don't know. My brain retains... for audio for some reason. I don't know, just the way it works. Mm-hmm. Reading, because I'm a poor reading level, and that's why I created the book. I saw one of my friends the other day, and I'm like, here's a book. He's like, I don't read. I'm horrible at reading. I go, dude, I wrote it for people with ADD, people that have a horrible reading level skills. I wrote it for you to actually read. This book is for you. So, that's the way I created it. So it's not in these like massive words that are going to trip you up. But my problem is I have dyslexia too. So when I read, I see things backwards and sometimes I'm trying to figure words out and then I get lost in trying to figure this word out and I lose my whole train of thought where the book's going.
Yeah.
So, but audio, it just flows in, it sticks with me. And that's just, what works for me.
Okay. So let's talk about your trip to Arkansas a little bit, but like, after that book was released, you ended up going to Arkansas pretty fresh. You met up with Sonny Head, all those guys. Like, what are they saying about the book? Or just a little bit, talk about the trip. But like, what's the impact that you're seeing over there?
Yeah, so we got booked for Arkansas. So as I'm packing my bags, I'm like, okay, hold on. Where exactly is Arkansas? Because I know it's over in the Midwest somewhere, right? But so we went. I looked where it's at. I'm like, okay, so wait, what's the weather like? You know, So it said like the weather was going to be like 80 or something. So I was like, okay, dude, this is amazing. Good weather. So we show up there. Turns out we got there in perfect weather. Okay. Normally it's like really humid.
Okay. It wasn't humid?
No. Well, a little bit of humidity, but not like, no, I don't know if you've ever been to like Kansas City or Missouri where
I've been in North Carolina and it was
hell hot humidity. And you're like, dude, you're just wet, soaked. Yeah. No, it wasn't like that. Okay. But we were doing skate contests. So you get soaked, you know, start getting wet when you're skating. But anyway, I get there and I'm like, so dude, tell me about Arkansas. And I actually ended up sitting between a girl on a plane that was the plane I was supposed to be on, it was missed my connection. So they got me off United, they put me on American. I ended up in the back of the plane, like in the very back, like by the bathrooms. And I was sitting there next to this girl with purple hair and this other girl. And it turns out this girl was a swinger. Swinger. Like, she's like, I have two husbands. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I live in Arkansas. I have two husbands. I'm like, what the heck is going on in Arkansas? Anyway, and then I'm talking to this other girl in Arkansas, which I later found out that is the Bible Belt. So the swinger lives there. She has two husbands. And this other girl I'm meeting there, she grew up and her dad was gay. So basically, she grew up with a dad that had a boyfriend in the house living in Arkansas. So I'm like, isn't much different than Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, same problems everywhere you go. Same issues. So anyway. Talked to them, got to hang out with them for the whole trip on the way to Arkansas. Got there, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, guys, so what's going on in Arkansas? They're like, well, if you go north, you know, you don't want to stay out after the lights go down because that's like one of the KKK headquarters.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, are you serious? This is like a real thing over here? Yeah, man, if you have colored skin, you don't want to go over there. You know, so I had Sonny, you know, he's Latino, so, you know, he got the dark skin. So we didn't stay out past the street lights. No, but it's beautiful there. It's really beautiful, really green. And what we did is we went to we worked with a series of churches, all different denominations. Five churches in 5 days, all different churches. Really awesome pastors and leaders really got the – one of the guys got saved out of the hippie movement, the Jesus movement.
Wow.
And he's a pastor out there now in Arkansas, in Little Rock. But we hit all the local skate parks. And, you know, skate parks, it's the same crowd. You got the drugs. You got the alcohol. We were smoking weed, drinking, beer cans. It's just that rough crowd. But we went. We did best trick contest. Everyone heard what we said. We prayed for people to give their life to Christ. We had a high impact on people getting saved. And then I was passing out books, dude. I was like, hey, man. At the end, I'm like, because they know I'm a skater and I grew up in the skate industry. I'm like, look, man, I don't even know if any of you guys read or not, you know? But I'm like, if you guys read and if you want this book, I said, this is a cool story that will help you with issues that are going on in your life. If you want it, come up to me and I'll give it to you. I'm not going to just give it to you. If you want it, come and get it. Dude, they all came up.
Wow.
And what's cool about the South, people in the South are so cool, man. They're such nice. They're like, sir, ma'am. Yeah, I'm like, relax, you know, but they're just really genuine.
Tell your gut by that.
They're really nice, cool, genuine people. So we had a really great time in the South. We saw all kinds of people get saved. We were baptizing people. See, they don't care out there. Like the Christianity that the South has, they're like, we're going to give the message. And then after, if you want prayer, we're going to play worship. You come up, we're going to lay hands on you. Yeah. We're going to pray that God's going to heal you spiritually, physically. Like they don't play games there. They're just like all, you know, I'm kind of like, churches here, different places. I'm like, if you want to call people, lay hands on people after, it's kind of like, is that cool? I don't know. Is that bad? Right. Dude, that's just the way they roll in the South. Mm. And from there, then they're like, if you want to get baptized, if you were encouraged, we got a t-shirt and we got some shorts that you can wear. We're going to hook you up. You can get baptized. Dude, they brought out the tank and we started dunking people. Right there in the church.
That's awesome.
They had like a horse trough. Or no, it was a blow-up pool. One place had a horse trough. The other place had a blow-up pool. Dude, they just baptized you right there on the spot. Wow. And we baptized all kinds of. And they even told us, like, we've never baptized this many people in one service.
That's dope.
It was. And one of the pastor's daughters, it was cool. This is kind of a – I get choked up thinking about this because it's a real cool thing because we were in the green room in this backstage area, and the pastor, you know, he's just being very polite, you know, he's a really cool guy. And he's just like, I'm not going to mention his name right now, but, he's just like, he's like, Hey, really quick. I just want you to meet, you know, we're with Stunning Head. So these are rock stars, right? Mm-hmm. So typically people think, you know, rock stars want to be by themselves and isolated and don't everyone just stay away from them. But Sunny and Head aren't like that.
Right.
You know, they're like normal guys. They're rock stars, but they don't act like rock stars.
No.
So the guy's like, hey, by the way, this is my, it's like younger daughter. She came in to say hi to her dad. And I'm like, oh, who's this? And he's like, oh, this is my daughter. And I go, oh, cool. And she goes, okay, honey, thank you. Thanks for coming. I'll talk to you in a minute. I go, hey, do you guys want to hang out? And he's like, what? He's like, really? That's cool. I go, yeah. I go, where's your wife? Where's your kids? Where's your family? And he said, oh, yeah, these are them. I go, dude, everyone come in. Grab your food and come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
So just that connection brought them in. And basically what happened is she was, as pastor's kids, she's just going through a hard season and made, like very, very difficult season, we'll just say. And I didn't know. But I was loving on them and hanging out with them. And God was... he kept drawing me to this girl there. And throughout the services, through the different time I'd see her, I'd talk to her, whatever. And then I spoke the last night, and dude, I walked off stage to pray for people, and I looked over and I saw her. And she just looked like she was worshiping, and I walked up and I said, can I pray for you? And I just started praying into her, and dude, she just started bawling. God was just giving me stuff for her. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but I just prayed over her and she just started crying. And, and I was just like, my God wants to do something right now in you. And I said, I'm going to pray for you to get filled. And I just kept praying over her. And then I stepped back in a minute and then I looked at her and I go, have you ever been baptized? And she's like, yeah, when I was like 9, I go, you need to get baptized. And she starts bawling. She's like, that's so crazy because God was just literally telling me to get baptized. Now, this is the pastor's kid in front of this big church. Like, it's a big church. It's like our sanctuary, full. To do this, she's in her normal street clothes. She didn't come to get baptized. But what happened is God, in very long story short, through the message, whatever I said that night or whatever, it was just hitting home. Boom, boom, boom. And then the prayer. And God, the Holy Spirit was just getting her. Boom, 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 boom. And she just surrendered it all. And we prayed for her. And I took off my shoes. I jumped in the dunk tank. I jumped in and I go, I'm baptizing you right now. And I just went in there and I freaking dunked her right there in the church. And it was just such a, just an amazing thing. And then I even got to talk to one of the other pastor's daughters out there. And she got to, she was going through some stuff and just got to minister to her and pray for her. And God just like showed up in her life and just impacted her. And it was just cool because, you know, there was just so much awesome ministry going on in the skate parks with the non-Christians. But to me, because I'm a pastor's kid, and when you grow up in that environment, you feel like you have to be okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian and you're walking with God, like me, I rebelled. I was like, forget this. Yeah. You know, I don't care about nothing. Oh, I'm bad. Good. I know that. Like, I don't care. You know what you say, idiot, you know? But when you're literally trying to do what's right, and you're getting attacked, and not by people, but just you're getting attacked, and you're just, you have this like this weight you're carrying to be, feel like you have it all together, but you don't. You're a kid.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure it out. You're in junior high or high school or whatever all through life. Mm. But God used me to, God has given me a ministry, I believe, with pastor's kids. Mm. And got to just pour into them and they got to set free. And just, I think things I got to speak about into their life that, like one person I said, did you know it's okay not to be okay? And she's like, what? She said, I've never heard that before. Mm. I said, yeah, it's okay not to be okay. Like, we're Christians. You don't have to be perfect. We're under construction. You know, we've said that before on this radio show. If you're a Christian, you're under construction and you're a work in progress. It's okay not to have everything figured out. And that was like it was like the lights came on, bing. It was like this freedom came.
Yeah.
And like, oh. And we prayed and she just said she felt like this heaviness just come off of her. Wow. And it was just like the enemy, he wants to deceive you, he wants to get you tripped up and wrapped up in bondage as a Christian or a non-Christian. But it was cool. Now they got the book and I said, hey, everything, all these questions that you have, these things, I answer them all through here. I take you in that process. But it's been really cool. And then also, since I'm talking about pastor's kids, I got this DM from, you know, Zoe Pancho Juarez from Calvary Chapel, Montebello. Uh-huh. I got this text from her the other day. She's the one that posted that picture of the book where it's all like signed or all like written in notes. Nice. Cause I'm like, hey, cause she goes, I got the book. I go, did you read it? And she sent me all of her notes. And she's like, Ryan, this is the pastor's kid that I actually had a chance to actually pour into. Actually, I don't even know if I have.
Yeah, she's a cool girl.
I think I might have actually deleted it. Did I delete it? Oh, that sucks. I'm about to look it up. But she basically just sent me a DM just saying, Ryan, thank you. She's like, I was just telling my friend the other day when I was 15 years old, you were speaking at my church and I came into the back room and you were there and I just poured into her. Mm. And I just probably along the lines, I just loved her and just let her know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, she doesn't have to follow the Jesus that her mom and dad follow because Jesus is going to be unique to her. Mm-hmm. And God has a unique plan for her. And she's an individual. And not to get caught up in all the hype and just focus on who Jesus of the Bible is. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're going to find your call. And anyway, she said she went into like a messy relationship and this weird stuff. And I would text her out of nowhere. And I'd reach out because I follow her on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I'd reach out, hey, how you doing, kid? Love you. And I just, these little moments of these crazy times where I just encourage her. And then I brought her into do Shine.
I remember.
She just wrote it all out. Like, she's like, all these moments that me and Crystal would reach out to her and we embraced her when she was just in a really bad place in her life. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what the heck was going on. I don't even know if she was walking with God at these points. Probably not. But I embraced her and brought her in and just that love through those that time over the last, this had to be at least 6 years, 7 years. And now she got the book. She's on fire for God. She's just surrendered. Mm-hmm. And here she is. And it took just 6 years of just these moments, you know?
That vision right there is important, like, because we was talking about the hurting generation, but it's like, it's inside the church, it's outside the church, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Like, you can't put labels on people and it's like, oh, they're the church or whatnot, and they just got everything together.
It's just as bad or messed up. It's
just sometimes, right? And, like, that's real. It's that pressure that somebody, pastor's kids or just kids that are very involved in a ministry, but, you know, they feel like they have to be, like, this square and be perfect. And they put all this pressure on themselves that doesn't need to be there. And really, the encouragement to them is just like growing in your own relationship with God and being led by God's Spirit and like allowing conviction in your life and allowing change that happens and growth that happens in your life. But it's a process.
I actually found it. It says this. I'm going to read it. It says, I was talking to my friend Melissa about the time when I was 15 and you sat with me and poured into me at my dad's church. And then in between when I was doing announcements at Shine and then the random phone call a couple years back when I was living in the most janky apartment with a situation with a whack guy, all to say is that you and Crystal have always believed in me and seen me. Even in the middle of my confusion and grossness, you guys will forever have a special place in my heart. Mm. See, and that's it. It's just loving people in these places, yeah. You know, and I obviously knew that she was in a crazy place, you know, and I knew she's a pastor's kid. So what can I tell her? Beat her over the head with the Bible. She already knows. But you just have to love her and believe. And then here she is walking with God. And that's, I got to get her on the radio show.
No, I like Zoe. I remember when she was a part of Shine down there for sure. And I follow her on Instagram too because of the Shine stuff and just the interaction that we all had with her. I actually saw a video she did recently where she kind of gave like her whole vision of what she does now, like as far as she had this passion for styling and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of cool to see that. It's dope that she got that book and be able to get impacted. That's an amazing, because there's a lot of people that can relate to that, Ryan. I think a lot of people feel like they have to be this cookie cutter, perfect person. And if they're not, then they're not good.
Yeah. I would want to speak into that. You know, to be honest, I've been going through a crazy season this year, and it's God's grace, and it's been a hard time, just as, you know, a lot of my old things have been coming up in my life, just from like anger and different things of like, because hard times, you know, you go through, and not like I never went back to porn and all that stuff, but just more like the old man coming alive in different ways and just trying to like work out my faith with fear and trembling and just trying to just get through it and dealing with storm after storm and just hard times and stress and all this stuff. And you know, what I've honestly seen through this time is that God's grace is sufficient. And that may sound cliche, but I've seen the power of God manifest even more in my life, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like doing ministry, because you think, oh man, I'm in this place in my life. Like, how can I be used in ministry? But when I go out on the Great Commission and I'm out praying for people and leading people, I'm seeing more people get saved. I'm seeing more people get healed. I'm seeing more miracles and more stuff happen. And the power of God manifested through me, because God's like, Ryan, I know you're a knucklehead, but I know I got your heart. It's my heart that he has. So he's going to just manifest through me through his grace. So you don't have to be perfect. You got to just keep, you have to have your heart. And your heart means that you're mad at yourself when you mess up. That's what repenting is. Dude, why did I do that? I need to stop doing that. Okay, stop doing it and go to God. And if you continually have that thought process, then God has your heart.
Yeah.
And you got to read his word.
I was just talking to somebody about that the other day. And it's just, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Does it mean that David was perfect? No, man. He had not only stuff that happened later in his life, but he made mistakes along the way too. You know, sometimes you got ahead of God. A lot of times you waited upon God in his life. And it just goes for us as well. It's like, it's just having a relationship with God. That's it.
That's it. It's the basic. I need to talk about that in book two, actually. That's a good idea, is just the simplicities and not get caught up in the hype of Christianity. But when I say Christianity, like the institution, the bubble, or what you think, like, look at the word for face value and look at these characters of the Bible. You just said David. Look at Peter. Mm-hmm. Look at Paul. Look at these guys and study their character. Moses, all these guys, it's just all grace. But they had – God had their heart.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it comes down to. Yeah. All right. Go to killthenoisebook.com or thewhosoevers.com, and you can buy a book. Buy a couple. People are buying stacks of them and giving them out. Kill the Noise, Finding Meaning Above the Madness, or just go to your one click away on Amazon Prime. Click it. There's tons of reviews on there that will help you with reading more about it. Go to thewhosoevers.com. Book us. Buy some products. If you guys want to donate, keep us on mission. We are on mission. We haven't stopped during the pandemic, and we will not stop. Sean, thank you for being on the show.
Love being back.
Ron, we will see you when we get to heaven. We love you. You are greatly missed. The stories at the funeral. I cannot wait to hear more stories when we get to heaven. You're a wild man. I love you. Dude, it's on and cracking. We'll see you guys next weekend. Peace.
Love you guys. Peace.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.